thunder, all the lightning of United States Auto Club Championship Racing is here at one of the grand old tracks, Trenton, New Jersey. Hello, I'm Ken Squire. With me is David Hobbs. Just moments ago, at the completion of the Vinley Indy race for the Formula V-type cars, he had a very serious crash here, David.
It was an accident of incredible violence, Ken, at about 130 miles an hour. One of the cars actually jumped right out of the track. Both cars very badly damaged.
John Berenger, Baltimore, and Tommy Thompson of Somerset, New Jersey, both injured. And for the story on that, let's go to Brock Yates.
Ken, as you well know, the start of a major motor race is always an apprehensive moment. It's more so today because of this accident that happened on the last lap of the preliminary event. The more seriously injured of the two was Tommy Thompson, whose car tumbled over 350 feet out of the racetrack and landed beside the fence, away from the action. Berenger was left on the racetrack. He's apparently got some serious leg injuries. We don't know the extent of that, but Berenger is the least injured of the two. Thompson is now at the hospital being treated. The man who extracted him from the race car was Johnny Rutherford, who's starting this race in fifth place, and we wonder what's going through his mind at this moment. And it's an example of the mental toughness that he can climb into a car and race at competitive speeds after experiencing such a moment as that. Back to you.
It's 100 laps, 150 miles, and here's the man on the pole driving a Parnelli Jones automobile. Imagine that. A.J. Foy linked up for the start of this race with Parnelli and will be for next year. Supertex, who's won here 12 times. There you see him on the pole at 171 miles per hour. And beside him in row number one, as we get set for this live start, Danny Ongaia. So there's two Parnelli cars of the Parnelli Construction Company in the front row. Danny's car came out of the Parnelli stock too. Row number two for this event will be Mario Andretti, the new world champion of motor racing. And flanking him is Tom Sneva, who's battling Al Unser for supremacy on the USAC Championship Trail. Row three, Johnny Rutherford and Pancho Carter will be going at it. Then, as we come to row four, it's Johnny Parsons and Gordon Johncock. Pace car is coming in. Row five for this event is Al Unser and Mike Mosley. Field moving down for a start. Row six, Kinzer and Dahlenbach. Coming in to row seven, it is Gilhausen and Krisloff. Then in row eight, Gibson and Sneva. Here they are coming down for the start. Nine is Bagley and Bettenhausen. And then it's Hugel and Carl out back. Here we are, ready for the start. As the field hurtles down to start the first of the 100 laps. Out in front, on the inside, A.J. Foyt takes command. Danny Ongaia is in second. Now remember, there is a dogleg as you come off that second turn, and here they are addressing themselves to it, David.
The only right-hand corner on this track, back one of the only right-hand tracks in USAC racing. There's A.J. Foyt going to turn three, well ahead of Danny Ongaia in the similar car.
It's right here at turn four. They just had that terrible crash where one car went right out of the park. Ended up in four pieces, some 50 feet away from the track. AJ continuing to lead as the championship cars come to full song.
This is a bumpy track, as you can see there, early going through turn four. AJ Foyt stretching that lead over Danny Ongaia quite considerably round the dogleg. Tricky corner, bumpy into turn three there. AJ Foyt staying in front.
We have a problem at spin out here.
Number 24, Sheldon Kinzer, spun out.
Sheldon Kinzer, number 24, a top sprint car driver out of the Midwest. And there's a second car also involved just to the right. You can see another automobile. There's been two cars in a shunt out of turn number two on the start. And that's car number 30. That is Jerry Sneva. Jerry Sneva in the Thunder Racing car, the younger brother by 11 and a half months to Tommy Sneva, the defending national champion. And those two cars in trouble as we commenced the second lap as they came out of the second turn and headed for the dogleg. A.J. Foyt is in command. A two-car jam session, and perhaps, no, just two. Not seeing the Kinzer car come around. Here's Sheldon's number 24. So the standings, as we finish two laps, the second lap under caution, has A.J. in first, Danny and Guy is holding on to second place. The first caution coming a lap and a half into this live coverage of the Trenton 150 today, race number 14, worth approximately $92,000 on the United States Auto Club Championship Trail with David Hobbs and Brock Yates. I'm Ken Squire. Among those that did not qualify for today's race, the first alternate was Dick Simon. Jim McElreath, who won back here in 1965, failed to qualify. Tom Gloy, a new youngster out of the Formula Atlantic Series, failed to qualify. Joe Saldano, Boom Boom Cannon, and Eldon Rasmussen also are among those that did not make the 20-car starting grid for today's race.
However, those 20 that did start, the top six had incredibly close times. No one broke the qualifying record, but they were all terribly close, just right on that record.
Here's number 24, Sheldon Kinser, of the racing Kinser family. He has three cousins, and of course, anyone who follows sprint cars in the Midwest has certainly heard of the Kinser clan.
Well, luckily, neither of the two cars involved in that second lap sprint car seem to be hurt badly, and they're both going to get back in this race, although, of course, they'll be three laps down now.
Now, there's Sheldon Kinser. Earlier this year, he had a shoulder separation driving the Thermo King car. He has a cousin, Bob, does pretty well. And, of course, there is Steve Kinser, who's won 33 sprint car main events this year. I think we're almost ready for a start. Pace car is picking up the pace in turn four. It looks like it's coming in, and we should have this one going. AJ driving for Parnelli Jones. Who would have believed it? Those two great rivals of the 60s now combined. The Parnelli car up in front. One car in trouble and sliding down the inside in the dust as they come to the line.
Totally out of control. Driving
had a real look
track.
On John Cox's car. Something went amiss on Gordon John Cox's car on the start of the race. And you could see it do a little sashay up in the grass. It is back underway. Do I see a caution flag out? We do. We are still under caution.
Well, how extraordinary. I can't imagine what went wrong with it, because he just suddenly pulled over to the left across the front of two other cars as if he had trouble, then pulled back on the track. There we see Gordon Johncock now going down the back. And I thought he must have broken a drive shaft or something, but he seems to be okay.
Caution is still on. The yellow flag is still out. We had a shunt at the start of the race coming out of turn number two involving the brother of Tommy Sneva, Jerry Sneva, and now we're getting ready for a green flag, I think. No, there's going to be another lap of caution. Those leaders really want to get on it.
Gordon Johncock could have a bit of a chance around here. He's made a lot of trouble this year. He's been very condemning of the four-cylinder engine in his car, but I think around this track, of all places, he might go quite well. We saw a month ago at Milwaukee he went very well on the mile oval there. And although this is a little bit longer, some slightly longer straights, I think he'll do quite well here.
And he won here in a 200-mile race earlier this year.
In the spring,
right. With the Pat Patrick car. Well, there you see it. That's the Foyt colors on the bottom, the Parnelli Jones colors on the top of number 14. An interesting automobile, and the story we hear is that it will be AJ not in a Foyt Coyote, but in this automobile for the 1979 racing season. It's a tough old racetrack out here. There is another lap of caution. Earlier we had a chance to talk to Johnny Rutherford about this track, which is a little bit on its uppers these days. It's been run a lot of years. Here's what Johnny had to say about the upkeep of this track.
This track in places is coming apart. And it's the maintenance hasn't been the greatest because the track is on its way out. You know, the New Jersey State Fairgrounds, I think, is... been said for years they're going to move it, but I think finally it's going to come to pass, and with it the racetrack.
And it will be a sorry day if indeed that is reality. When you think back to those great days in 63, 64, the Sheridan Thompson car of Foyt winning five times in a row, great times here at that time on a mile track. Let's go to Brock Yates in the pits quickly.
Ken, I've got a report here from the Gordon Johncock pit. George McNaughty tells me that he thinks he just got on the throttle a little bit too hard as the green flag was coming up in that caution. As David knows, when you get 900 horsepower coming into play behind you, you can get the thing sideways once in a while, and I think that's what happened.
Is that right, Hobbs?
I can't imagine. I've never had 900 horsepower behind me. Sounds like an awful lot, though.
Incidentally, David's old car is out here. The car that Jerry Carl is driving today is the car you drove at Indianapolis. Here's the pace car coming down. We're ready for a restart with seven laps complete. Seven complete, 93 to go. 139 and a half miles of racing as the field unlimbers, and you see Dahlenbeck way up back trying to challenge and move up through a bit on the field as they hustle. Foyt in front. Ongais is in second, and then one of the Penske cars whistles in third. And what a great sight to have Mario Andretti, who had his own great days on this Trenton track, back here seeking another USAC win. It's been a long time for him. Of course, next week, it's the U.S. Grand Prix. The following week, you'll see highlights on CBS of the United States Grand Prix with a world champion from the U.S. Andretti. Steve was running third. Ann Reddy is running fourth. John Cox is in fifth. As they haul down at a turn number one. From over 200 miles per hour, they hit that first turn coming down to about 160 miles per hour. Now they're up in the dogleg. That little right-hander, David.
These pictures show very graphically just how bumpy this track is. You saw going into turn one over the start-finish line the bumps, and through the dogleg, also very, very bumpy. They don't have to make... There again, bumpy, slippery track. That's where the two cars crashed in the earlier race. And A.J. Foyt pulls out that lead on Danny Ondrejas in a similar car, and they're both pulling away from the... cars of Tom Stever and the world champion Mario Andretti.
Now this car that AJ is driving, the one you see in first, is some 200 pounds lighter than Foyt's Coyote car, and it handles, from what we understand, with amazing ease. It is the latest in car construction, and AJ had a chance to drive this car in Ontario when Lloyd Ruby didn't show up. He liked it so much he parked his own Foyt Coyotes and said, Parnelli, I want to go play. Whoa, trouble in the back as this moving for position. Coming back to the line, that is the Al Unser car, which is being challenged by Pancho Carter.
Pancho having a go at Al there. The Lola that Al Unser has been so successful with this year in the main 500s, Indy, Ontario, and Pocono, is not very good on these short tracks.
That's a battle for eighth position that you're watching. That is Al Unser in eighth, and there's the leader again, and right behind him is Pancho Carter in the Fletcher car out of Arizona. A.J. Foyt, 12-time winner here at Trenton, 4 times in Indianapolis, 6 times national champion. And talk about versatility. That's what they'll be talking about for generations to come. Who was the greatest, A.J. or Andretti? They're both here today. Andretti now has on his belt a world championship and the only other American, Phil Hill. It's going to be some time at Watkins Glen in a week, and again, the highlights upcoming on CBS the following Saturday in the CBS Sports Spectacular, October 7th. Look at A.J. ready to lap automobiles. Here he is closing to the Canadian driver, Cliff Ducal, as they go into turn number one.
He is just driving away from the field. This is the thing that Danny Ondrejas has been doing all the year, driving away from the field. And now we see that a lot of Danny's success has, in fact, been in the car, because A.J. Foyt in a similar car here is just putting the smoke to everybody.
They've completed 13 laps. Whoa, something happened to Foyt. Foyt is slowing down. Ondrejas has popped in the lead. I wonder if he's overcooked it. Here's Foyt coming in. Ducal, who he just lapped, is coming by him. AJ looking back, startled, up into sixth. That battle between Unser is still boiling, and now Andretti is running side by side with Steva down in turns one and two. But AJ Foyt, the early leader, is pitting. Ondrejas is now the leader, going for his sixth win of the season. Danny Ondrejas, he's won five thus far. He came from 20th at Michigan a week ago. Busy time for USAC. 4 weeks, 4 races, 2 in Europe.
I wonder if he's broken the drive shaft. There's somebody looking down at the back of the car. The car looks all right. None of the tires are flat. The car doesn't seem to be hanging down at one side. He's obviously stopped the engine, huh? It looks fairly terminal. Oh, no, there he goes.
Well, it was terminal for about 21 seconds.
I wonder what all that was about.
A.J. Foyt coming back on the track. As he comes in, looks like he'll be a lap down. 25, Ondrejas is your leader. The Ted Field Interscope Racing Team colors. Out in front once again is the Flying Hawaiian. Comes out of turn four, sweeps it up to 200 miles an hour, then glides into turn number one. Now let's review the positions for you with Ondrejas commandeering the front running position in the race. Danny Ondrejas has gone up in front. I would have car number 20 now running in second spot, the Gordon John Carr car. We'll check them off as they come by this time. There's the battle. That is Andretti and his teammate Sneva. They're not teammates. They're warriors out here today.
Here comes A.J. Foyt back into the pits again.
Now, the battle is for second place. It's 1-7 that you just saw. John Cox has dropped back. Foyt is back in the pits. And the battle is between the Penske cars for second place. They're side by side in the dogleg. Fantastic racing. Let's go to Brock Yates.
Ken, we're here at the A.J. Foyt pit. I can see a very red face behind that orange helmet. They have engine problems. There's no question about it. The first stop involved a check of the spark plugs. They are now replacing spark plugs. The engine was misfiring, and it's certainly a power problem. So he's in for a while, I think.
Simeon Gaius is in front. Can he win another? He won at Michigan from dead last on the grid. He started shotgun and took it home. Here he is out in front in the early going on a very rough and tough old Trenton track. On Gaius is first, and then the Penske PC6s are running second and third with Mario Andretti and Tom Sneva doing their... On Gaius throwing that car out of turn number four.
Yeah, you can see there the bumpiness of this track. That car looks very twitchy through there, but it's obviously getting the job done as Danny On Gaius qualified within a few hundredths of a second at point, who qualified on the pole. This car obviously handles extremely well. It's down to the weight limit, has a good engine, gets traction, gets the power down well. Danny in this car, every race he's finished this year, he's won, which is a pretty impressive record.
So it's Danny On Gaius running in first. Mario Andretti, the world champion, runs second. Tom Sneva's third. Gordon Johncock is fourth in the Trenton 150. We have a car in the wall at turn four as we return live in the 23rd lap here at Trenton in this 150-mile United States Auto Club event.
Jerry Sneva again, number 30.
His car is in the wall, the Thunder Racing car. Walled up here in the turn, one tire wheel completely off the machine, right in the same spot where one of those cars catapulted and then went on a wild ride out of the speedway going end over end several times earlier today in the mini Indy race.
In fact, into the exact spot where Jerry Sneva is standing right now, the engine and gearbox ended up.
Jerry Sneva, 11 and a half months younger than Tom Sneva, the defending national champion. They come out of Spokane, Washington. They cut their teeth in those modified races, and there is Jerry Sneva. There you see him.
Incredibly look-alike of his brother, Tom, of course.
A little bit bigger across the shoulders, but just as gentle and just as nice. And he's walking away from a destroyed car, number 30. Hate to see a man lose a car, but far better this way than what we saw out here earlier.
Absolutely. He's very lucky. He just kicked the wall and tore the wheel off, and the car looks, in fact, very, very lightly damaged, as, of course, was Jerry.
So we are under, officially, the second caution of the day. It was a double caution at first, brought out by a two-car shunt, if you're just joining us, when Sheldon Kintzer and this Sneva car were in contact out in turn number one. And now we are in the second of the day. Danny and Gaius leading, Andretti second, Sneva holds on to third, and the pit stops begin to happen here at Trenton, as we'll pause for this word. Mario Andretti, car number 7 in his 196 United States Auto Club start, looking for his 33rd victory. Make no mistake about it, he intends to win out here today. You see him behind a lapped automobile and the pace car. He is leading the field, and he beat On Gaius out of the pits. And watch how he did it. If you don't think he's determined, watch this end of the pit stop by those cars. There is Andretti coming out. And watch him put the blocks to Danny On Gaius. I mean, he intends to win. On Gaius hit everything locked up, David, on pit road.
Now, that's what 900 horsepower does for you in the low gear. You see the back end of that car, just like a dirt track car. But as you say, very determined to win this race. World champion, but hasn't won a USAC race for a long time.
And he's at home. Nazareth, Pennsylvania, this Trenton track he's raced on in just about every form of racing. In the old days, when Mario started, we could see him running the dirt tracks and midgets. And we saw him race out here in the sprinters. Here's Sneva. This is Jerry Sneva walking in from his crumpled race car. And let's go back to Tim Ryan standing by in New York. And Mario Andretti is in command of the Trenton 150. And let's go to Brock Yates with Jerry Sneva in the pits.
Ken, I've got Jerry here after two rather harrowing incidents early in the race. The second one was caused by the first spin, or was it totally isolated, Jerry?
Oh, I think after we spun to Miss Sheldon on about the second lap, we had a little flat spot in the tire, and the car just started pushing more, and then coming out of fourth, blew it right to my tire, and I couldn't clear it. Right into the wall we went.
Jerry, you got into the wall roughly in the same place that the Super V crash happened earlier in the day. Was there any relation to that, or is it just an isolated incident?
No, I don't think so. The racetrack was just getting slippery a little bit like it usually does during the course of a race, and we just blew a tire, and I don't think it was anything to do with the other problem.
Okay, you're okay. Okay, back to you, Ken, from the pits.
Jerry Unser out of it. Andretti in it in front. Mario Andretti's last United States Auto Club victory, 1973, here in this Trenton 150. It's been a cold season in USAC. It's been a great year in Formula One for the United States. What a thrill it is for us, and us old Yankees, us folks from the colonies, David, to have a world champion and to have one as great as Mario Andretti.
Of course, driving a British car. I know, I've been rooting for Mario for 2 years now. I thought last year he showed exceptional form in the Lotus and could have easily won the world championship last year, and I think it's very fitting for him that he should win it this year. It's a surprise he's treasured ever since he watched Ascari when he was a young lad in Italy, and I'm very glad for everybody, obviously himself and his wife and his family, that he's at last won the crown of racing, the world championship.
Wait till he blows them off again next year. There's Danny Ungaius. Danny Ungaius in the number 25 car, the Ted Field car. Ted himself was out here racing that mini Indy race, and Ted was directly behind that terrible crash in turn number 4. The two drivers were pinned in their automobiles for over 20 minutes before they were extricated. About one more lap to go before they turn this field loose.
Of course, Mario Andretti is the world champion this year. He's won, what, 5 Formula One races?
Six
Formula One races.
And
in my opinion, of course, Danny Ungaius, the man we've just seen there, should be at least leading the USAC Championship trail, but he's not. He's languishing in 7th place with 5 victories under his belt, which seems a pretty cockeyed way of scoring to me.
Well, because the 500-mile races have so many more points than a 150-mile race like today.
Absolutely.
There's Johnny Rutherford's wife scoring as usual out here today. Wouldn't seem right without Betty around.
And there's Tyler Alexander.
Let's take a look at how the field is set as we watch Sheldon Kintzer pulling onto pit road. It is Andretti in first. In the second position would be Danny Ungaius. Meanwhile, maintaining third is Johnny Parsons with the Lindsay Hopkins car, having a good day for the ex-LA policeman. And he is shown in third with the fourth position, now car number 2. And the number 2 automobile hanging out here and looking very, very good is a fellow named Al Unser. And right now they're scrubbing up the tires a little, David.
That big lens foreshortens the field. It makes it look pretty chaotic, but they are in fact trying to put some temperature in those tyres so that when they arrive at turn 1, the first time after the flag, they've got some grip.
5th in the field, car number 1, Tom Sneva. Running 6th is Rutherford. 7th is John Cock, and 8th is Pancho Carter as we wait for resumption of the race. They're coming to the green flag as they will be completing the 30th lap, 70 laps remaining. Tremendous jump as they come down through. On guys. Squirts through for the lead. Danny Ungaius around Andretti and back into first place. And John Cock is pitting. The Pat Patrick, number 20, is pitted. Meanwhile, the leaders in a tight duel of one car having trouble up in turn 2 and slowing down. I think that is the Spike Gilhausen car today. Meanwhile, there you see John Cock in the pits. Gordon John Cock. This is his kind of track. He won here earlier this year. And a 200-miler is in and coming out, trying not to get lapped. Meanwhile, the field comes rolling down out of turn number 4. It is Ungaius first, Andretti in second, Parsons in third, Sneva in fourth, Unser is fifth, Rutherford 6th, running 7th. Is Pancho Carter in 8th is Tom Bagley.
Johnny Parsons is doing an incredible job because he's got a 4-cylinder car. And these are the cars that are supposed to be so uncompetitive, but he's really not losing much ground to Mario Andretti.
Danny Ungaius back in front.
About to lap Gordon Junker. This won't make Gordon at all happy.
Gets beneath him. Look at that speed. They're averaging, qualified, 170 miles an hour around this track. 171 on A.J. Foyt. He took the pole. AJ's in trouble. If you're just joining us, you're watching live the Trenton 150 with perhaps the most illustrious field they've ever had here. A world champion, Foyt, the battle between Unser, the first Triple Crown winner in USAC history, and Sneva for first place in national standings. That will go right down to Phoenix, Arizona, and CBS will be there to bring it all to you from Phoenix in November at the end of the season. Andretti trying to close ground.
Well, he may be world champion, but Danny Ungaius is not being fazed by Mario's presence at all. He outjumped him at the restart there, and he's pulling away now. Now he's got a bit of a cushion because he's got Gordon Junker, who's now lapped down between him and Andretti, which have been holding Andretti up just a little bit, I'm sure.
It was the Gilhausen car that had slowed on the track. It has come in the pits and fallen a couple of laps down. He's running what has been the Al Acquisto ride today. Al sitting this one out after Gilhausen was in a fallacious crash that wiped out his car in Ontario, California, a week ago.
Also wiped out Al Unser's car in pretty spectacular fashion. There's Mario. trying to get round. Gordon Johncock. It's a lap down now.
On Gaius. Winner at Ontario, California earlier this year. College Station, Texas, on the road course at Mossport and at Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as well as Michigan. Going for his sixth here today in the Trenton 150. With you live in the 37th of 100 laps in the 150-mile Trenton race this afternoon with Danny Ungaius out in front. Taking a look at Ungaius's pits as they continue to tick off the seconds and check their driver through. Lap ahead, here's Andretti closing. There you see in the picture, Mario Andretti closing on the black. Car number 7, Old Black Beauty, is in for a challenge the way it's going. There's Johnny Parsons trying to lap Gordon Johncock in turn 1. Johnny Parsons, son of an Indianapolis champion, looking very good in the early going, David.
He's running incredibly well, and now he's trying to get that lap back off Gordon Johncock, who Mario had a lot of trouble getting around. Of course, these two cars, Gordon Johncock number 20 and Johnny Parsons 16, they're the only two four-cylinders that are really in contention in this race.
Coming up later today, the Ruffian Handicap from Belmont Park. Jack Whitaker and staff standing by to bring you that live this afternoon here on the CBS Sports Spectacular. Back to the leader here at Trenton, New Jersey. You're watching Danny Ungaius unreel another incredible lap in this beautifully prepared automobile. And there's Andretti closing in the Penske automobile, moving into the dogleg.
This is what Mario Andretti likes, a real challenge. It's one of the things that Danny hasn't had to put up with much this year, quite frankly. A lot of the races he's been in, he has just tended to drive off from this opposition, tough though it may be. But Andretti's another thing altogether, closing on Danny.
You saw Todd Gibson slowing down and heading for the pits as the field rolled by, the leaders rolled by. There's Gibson coming in. Good stout runner in the Midwest for many years, and he's out of the race. Gibson is retiring from the event. It's too bad. Meanwhile, up in front, Ungaius stays in front of it. And in a little further back, let's talk about fifth position for just a moment. We're watching Al Unser in fifth, and Rutherford is beginning to creep up on him a little, but he's still about 8 tenths of a second back.
Is that Gordon Johncock we see going into the pits again? He's not having a good afternoon at all.
Well, Ungaius taking that strange line. There he goes, dipping way below the line. After 90, because Gilhaus wants to get another target.
Mario Andretti giving Danny Ungaius a very hard time out there. First and second in this race. Ungaius going past his back marker. If you can call a man doing 135 miles an hour a back marker. Mario doing the same thing, putting the pass, coming up turn 4, right up to that wall where we hauled. Saw such a horrific accident early on this afternoon. And of course, Jerry Sneever's already lent his car on that wall, too, with a tire blow.
Johnny Parsons stays in third. In fourth is Unser. In fifth is Rutherford. Boy, that's not. There's Unser.
This car that Al's driving is a Lola chassis, which has been so successful for him this year in the big 500s, but it doesn't go very well on these short tracks, but he seems to be doing quite well today, up to fifth position.
Sneever is fourth. I believe I had Al fourth. That's incorrect. It's Sneever fourth, Al Unser fifth, Rutherford sixth. Look at that car number 25, Dart and Dodge, as it goes into turn number 1, David.
The entry into turn 1 here is very, very rough indeed, and you can really see those cars bumping and jostling around. Tremendous amount of downforce with those wings and the body, pushing them into the bumps, and it really makes these cars jump around.
Danny Ungaius continues to lead with Mario Andretti challenging here in the Trenton 150 as you watch it live on CBS. We're watching an incredible battle. Johnny Parsons is trying to fend off Tom Sneever in the Penske automobile. There's Parsons in third. Tom Sneever, defending national champion, in fourth position. They're working the 48th lap of 100 here in this 150-mile race at Trenton, New Jersey. Parsons has pulled away. Sneever twice has pulled up on the counter-attack and moved beneath him, but he couldn't dispatch him. The leader continues to be Danny Ungaius with Mario Andretti in second. But here's the war. Third place. Parsons in third. Sneever trying to take it away.
Johnny Parsons is driving an incredible race because Tom Sneever has got what on paper is a much, much quicker car. Tom Sneever's car has been on the pole, what, 5 times this year? And here he is struggling to get around Johnny Parsons in a 4-cylinder car. Pretty good effort by Johnny.
Meanwhile, Danny Ungaius is in front. He's been embroiled in a battle from the very beginning with Mario Andretti. He seems to have the better of it at the present time. Roger Penske watching that Mario Andretti car and the Sneever car out here today. number 75 tried to come back on the track and make a couple of laps, all for naught. Todd Gibson back to the pit area, another and probably final time for Richmond, Ohio's automobile of Todd Gibson and Eagle Offey.
The track this afternoon is, we've heard reports that it's getting pretty slippery and these cars are sliding around a lot. We can see that Danny Ongarth, our leader, is lapping at about 163 miles an hour. That's 10 miles an hour off their qualifying time, which would indicate that the track is, in fact, getting a bit slippery and these guys are losing some traction.
Danny Ongarth ducking to the outside of the dog leg, diving down through at about 135, 140 miles per hour. And then up into the very rough, with a rare amount of unanimity among USAC drivers, they all said one thing about this track. It's rough in turn three. They don't agree on much, but they certainly agreed on that, David.
Yeah, they agreed on that, and we've got to agree that Danny Ongarth is pulling away quite handily from Mario Andretti. Of course, there's some tactics involved in these turbocharged engines racing. Fuel supply, will it last the race? Mario's got a chassis setting his tires off. So we don't really know why he's dropping back. Dropping back, he definitely is.
Pit stops will be the order of the day shortly. Ongarth still in front. Look at him just so beautifully right. There's Allister's car, number two, which is running in fifth position. The first Triple Crown winner. He won Indianapolis. He won Ontario. He won Pocono. No one in the history of United States Auto Club has ever done it before. And this great driver from Albuquerque, New Mexico, did it in the year 1978.
And, of course, those victories have given him the lead in the national championship. And he's following very closely now Tom Sneva, who's the second in that championship. And if Al can get round him, that'll make a lot of difference with only two races to go this season.
I'll tell you, here's Ongarth coming through. Chance to talk with both Al Unser and with Tom Sneva about this 1978 season and this championship. And here's what they said.
Do you ever think when this season began, Al, there would come a time when you'd become the first Triple Crown winner and you'd be number one in the national standings and we get down here to the end of the year?
No, I didn't. It's something that you would like to have happen and dream come true. But at the beginning of the year, I would have said my chances are very slim with a new team, a new car, but it all fell into place, and here we are.
You think you can beat him out before the season's over?
Well, that's our intention. You know, we go into every race intending to win it, and, the accidents are part of the game, but racing's in our blood, and you evaluate the pluses and the minuses of the sport, and the pluses for me and Al, obviously, far outweigh the minuses, and we love what we're doing, and competitiveness is the name of the game, and we're both competitors, so it should be interesting.
And it's interesting out here right now because these two are going at it. They are fighting for fourth position, numbers one and two. Tommy Sneva and Allen, so they're 127 points apart in the national standings. There are 300 points to win this race. And there you see them hustling down to the one.
Al really makes ground on this turn, too. Look at this ground he's making up. Absolutely pulls up alongside. They get to the straight. Tom Sneva just seems to have a little bit of edge. Down to the dog leg, side by side. Tom Sneva still stays in front. Mario, Al has a go going into turn three, doesn't pull it off.
For all of his Triple Crown winnings this year, the thing which has excited him most is his young 16-year-old son, who's won two sprint car races in his first year and the other night against the very best, Doug Wolfgang, swinging Sammy Swindell and all those top world of outlaw sprint racers. This kid finished ninth, Al's son. Now you're seeing Al Unser, the master, down beneath Tommy Sneva. He has him by about 12 years in experience. Will he get him at the dog leg?
That, of course, is Johnny Rutherford hanging on there right behind them, also in the points championship, and of course trying to get past both of these men at the moment. This is a three-way race.
That's right. Here they are up in turn number four of the old mile-and-a-half Trenton Speedway. Dogleg right. It's actually five turns these days. But you can't call Trenton's fourth turn turn five. No way.
This is a tough three-way race for position four in this 150-mile race coming to you from Trenton, New Jersey on a beautiful day.
Off turn two, Al Unser seems to have the advantage at the dogleg, wheel-to-wheel. Back comes
steep.
On the outside, the high line seems to be the way into turn number three.
This is the trouble. Al's got him on the low line coming out of two, but it leaves him on the wrong line for going into three, and he just can't administer the coup de grace, as it were.
We're watching the battle for fourth place. Here they come, just steaming at 200 miles an hour down into the first turn area.
Lap traffic there. Opening up just a little bit, but not much. Here comes Al again, underneath.
Danny Agaius continues to lead. Andretti second, Parsons in third, and then the war is on back there in fourth. Danny Agaius, car number 25, in the 62nd of 100 laps leads. But here's the battle. Back in the fourth spot, you're watching Al Unser once again skim beneath Tom Sneva. Will he maintain that position at turn three? He does. Al Unser has taken over the fourth position, moving Tommy Sneva back to fifth, and directly behind him, ready to attack, is Johnny Rutherford in the McLaren. With Brock Yates and David Hobbs, I'm Ken Squire. This is live coverage from Trenton, New Jersey, of the United States Auto Club at its best today. Parsons has just pitted number 16. The third place car is on pit road, and this will move into third place car number
two.
Number two.
Al Unser will now become third place. It'll be interesting to see if Al, having got by Tom Sneva, can in fact pull away. I suspect, in fact, that Sneva was holding him up a bit.
Now, Agaius was leading Andretti in second place by about 6 seconds, and then Agaius has about half a lap over the third place cars, which continue to be the number two of Al Unser, and Unser is pitting. We're ready for those pit stops. Unser is pitting as the field goes into the 65th lap.
Locking up the right front wheel a little bit there. This is a particularly tough track on brakes here. They have to brake very hard going into turn one and, of course, three.
Changing tires, right side. Agaius is in. Leader is in. The leader is on pit road. Danny Agaius came out of Hawaii, drove drags, went on to sports cars, came with Ted Field in a championship racing, and he has been the sensational star of the 1978 season. Winner of five races. Will this be six? Good pit stop.
What an exit. Danny Agaius screamed past Al Unser, who just bobbled a little bit coming out of the pits there. We're seeing a lot of fast exits from the pits this afternoon. We also saw a little bit of work going on Danny Agaius' engine. Were they increasing or decreasing his boost, I wonder?
Leader Andretti, and he goes around another time. He does not pit on this occasion. Andretti stays well in front. There is your leader, Mario Andretti. All those years, 1968, he came to Watkins Glen, set on the pole in a Lotus, and now in 78 he goes back reigning as the world champion. Tom Sneva pitting. Watch this.
Tom Sneva seems to have the tremendous ability to go extremely fast in qualifying, but can never quite maintain that sort of pace in the race. New outside tires.
Clock ticking away. He's away in under 13 seconds. Fueled and ready to go.
Good stuff.
Remember, they're not running gas. They're on fuel out here today. High derivative of alcohol.
Alcohol, what you like so much.
Never mind that, fella. All right, Andretti is in front. Coming up later today, the Ruffian Handicap from Belmont Park here on CBS. A grand race, and you'll be seeing it live on the Sports Spectacular. Watch this. Andretti is pitting. Car number seven. Remember, his last win, 1973, was right here on this track in USAC cars. Six wins in Formula One World Championship this year. Will he make the mark of Juan Manuel Fangio when he goes to Watkins Glen October the 1st? You'll see the highlights the following week, exclusively on CBS. 12 2/10 seconds. Excellent pit stop for the Penske crew.
Yeah, very good indeed. Just a second quicker than his teammate Tom Sneva, and there's Al Unser going round the outside of Mario Andretti. This is going to be one heck of a race right down to the wire.
So with Andretti giving up the lead is reappropriated by Danny Agaius. Agaius is back in first place. Danny Agaius is out in front. Rutherford has made his pit stop now, and all the pit stops have been made by the top cars in the field. We started 20, and they're all holding up very well out here today, David Hawks.
They are. It's a very reliable race. We had that little bit early on where the two cars spun, and we had Jerry Sneva hit the wall, but other than that, we've had very few mechanical failures this afternoon.
Mario Andretti is running in second place. Andretti with car number 7 is in second place, and David's checking the interval for you as the field comes by this time. As he does, remind you that in the mini Indy race today, Jeff Brabham, the son of the former world champion Jack Brabham, was victorious here this afternoon, finishing second with Bobby Ciccone from Springfield, Pennsylvania, Herm Johnson third, and Woodstock, Vermont's Bill Alsa finished fourth, and he tied up the national title in mini Indy racing. He is the mini Indy national champion, Bill Alsa from Woodstock, Vermont, with his fourth place finish this afternoon. Two drivers injured. We'll try to have a hospital report for you before we go off the air on those two drivers that had that terrible crash up here in turn number 4, where on Gaius is motoring out at about 165 miles an hour and hustling down the straightaway.
Well, I make Danny on Gaius 5. There's Val Miletic and A.J. Foyt. Val Miletic being the owner and constructor of the car that Foyt drove, and of course the constructor of the car that Danny Ongais is leading this race with today. I make Danny Ongais 5 seconds in front of car number 2, Al Unser, and 10 seconds in front of car number 7, Mario Andretti. I got a feeling, in fact, that Al must be lying second now, but I could be wrong. The scoreboard says he's not, but I've just got a feeling he is.
We've completed 75 laps, 25 laps remaining. Ongais in first. And from the Hobbs report, we have Al Unser running in second position.
But from the official report, we seem to have got a different story, so
that's
I'm
right.
Wrong again.
So Andretti would be in
Whoa,
second.
Whoa! There's a spin coming off turn 2. Is it
Ongais?
It's our leader, Danny Ongais. Spun coming off turn 2. Just kissed the wall.
He's only just. See it again in just a moment. Danny Ongais is getting out. Now watch when he gets out. He's always under control, but I think right now he's got to be very unhappy. I wonder if he cut a tire down. That's what had happened to Steve. Let's look at it again. Here's Ongais in turn 2. About how much speed here, David?
I should say about 145 miles an hour. And the car just got away from him. It certainly looks like it, but he did a very good job, kept it off the wall, just touching the wall there. The problem with these Indy cars is once they spin and the engine stops, it's impossible for the driver to restart the engine as they don't have an onboard starter. Lucky spin, lucky boy.
There's Danny Ongais standing beside the hook as they're getting ready to bring the car in.
He used to do quite a bit of that last year, not only in USAC racing, but in the IMSA racing, when he and I had some pretty stirring battles in our respective cars, but this year he's more or less given up spinning, and that's the first time I've seen him do it, in fact, for a bit.
Did you inherit the act?
But?
Did you inherit the act?
No, I didn't inherit the act, no.
We're under caution as Danny Ongais has had difficulty here, spun his car, and there truly is the longest walk in sport. You can talk about in other sports, but when you've lost a race car and you start back for the pits by yourself, that is the longest walk. Mario Andretti appropriates first position here in the Trenton 150 after Danny Ongais did a little twirl up here in turn number 2.
Just coming off turn 2, he applied just a little bit too much power there, and the back gets away from him. He applies a lot of opposite lock. You can see it, full opposite lock there, but it's to no avail, and the car just goes around, and he starts to run down the road backwards there, just missing the wall with the left front wheel on the car.
Those folks watching the main straightaway didn't know if they were missing.
No, I'm afraid they didn't. Look at that smoke pouring off those tires.
And to start this race once again. Field coming down, and it is Mario Andretti out in front. Can he stay there? Second position is being shown as Johnny Rutherford, while in third is Johnny Parsons. Tight running. There's Parsons wheeling through. He has Rutherford. Johnny Parsons is around Johnny Rutherford. Parsons having the best day he's had all year. We show him now in second place, but look at this. The world champion, Mario Andretti, out of turn number 4. 5 years since he's won the USAC Championship Trail. It could happen today. His 33rd win may be here. There he is out in front. Second spot is Rutherford, and he's underneath Pancho Carter. And we have a car in the wall in turn number 2. A bad crash in turn number 2. On the restart. I must tell you that a few moments ago, Tyler Alexander was talking with Brock Yates and told us John Cox, number 20, the big naughty Pat Patrick car, has crashed, and I believe
He's trying to get out.
That we can show it to you in replay in just a moment. AJ is out there with him. Remember, Gordon crashed at the end of last year at Milwaukee backwards into a fence at 150 miles an hour, knocked unconscious. We're checking replay now. Let's see what we have here. Going down into the corner, and there you see the car up in the air. He had a lot of daylight beneath the car as it slammed the wall.
Absolute miracle that car didn't turn over or catch fire. Great deal of sparks coming off from under the car as it dragged along the road. This is going to bring out a long yellow. Gordon Johncock walking away from the car, thank goodness, from a terrible, terrible wreck. That car is absolutely chewed right up.
Now, a few moments ago, Tyler Alexander was talking with Brock, and he said this track is unbelievably slippery. I think that might be the mini Indy cars out earlier today running for a bit of the time. There is Johncock walking away. He's okay, thank goodness. A.J. Foyt, you saw him right over there. They may fight each other. They may shake their fist at each other. But this fraternity of racing is special. And Foyt was one of the first on the scene. He leaped down off the Interscope truck and rushed out to Gordon Johncock. Leader coming back by. Mario Andretti still first. Rutherford in second. Parsons in third with 83 of 100 laps complete in the live coverage of the Trenton 150. The Pat Patrick car, number 20, driven by Gordon Johncock, coming into the hook. Brock Yates is standing by with Gordo right now.
The obvious question, Gordon, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Did something break? It sure looked like the car came awfully unglued, awfully quickly.
Well, I just got into the corner kind of hard and, trying to make up a little time. We were a lap down at one time and just got in a little bit hard, and there's too many slow cars. And I had to get on the brakes exceptionally hard and swap ends with me.
Gordon, some other guys have been complaining about the track being very slick today. Did you find it that way?
Yes, most definitely. I think the track is in bad shape today.
Okay. The man is obviously a little shaken, but he's okay, and you know that he's going to be back. Back to you, Kenley.
Gordon Johncock, won here early this year in a 200-miler. One of the toughest drivers you could ever hope to see in the super modified circuit a few years ago. On to Indianapolis, he's won there. He's a great champion, and he just took a hard, high ride. It looked like that one might have been leaving the park.
You can see from the car damage that the car didn't touch the wall at all with the front end. He must have swapped ends incredibly quickly and just backed straight into the wall with that left rear wheel of the car and tore that rear corner to shreds. And nearly throwing the car, as you say, right out of the racetrack.
There are 15 laps, 22 and a half miles remaining in the event. They're working the 86th lap at the present time. And there are the remains of Gordon Johncock's hopes today coming into the wrecker. And let's now go to New York where Tim Ryan can update us. Here's Mario Andretti in front. As the laps trickle away, they're working quickly to try to get this event back under green for a finish up in turn number two, but they sure want to be careful today, David. It has been a wreck-strewn afternoon here at Trenton, New Jersey, as we're watching live the Trenton 150.
The track is obviously in pretty shocking state already, which has caused already two accidents. We saw our leader, early leader, Daniel Gaia, spin coming out of turn two. Gordon spun going into turn one. It's very slippery, and the stuff that Gordon's just deposited on the track is going to make it even worse.
13 cars are remaining on the track. We have an update on the condition. The two drivers who had their cars totally destroyed, and they were pinned in their cars for over 20 minutes earlier today in a mini Indy race. John Behringer is in guarded condition at a hospital here in Trenton. Multiple leg fractures. Tommy Thompson from the Black American Racing team, who went over the fence and out of the park today, is in intensive care and unconscious. And that's all we have on those two drivers who were in this terrible crash on the last lap of the mini Indy event. Now look, here is Andretti in front. Look who's in second. Johnny Rutherford right behind him. And then comes Johnny Parsons driving a marvelous race in third place.
He is driving a marvelous race. He's only got a four-cylinder engine, which, as I said earlier on, around a track like this, a four-cylinder car might do some good, and Johnny Parsons has really done extremely well with that car this afternoon.
Well, Mario Andretti goes to Watkins Glen next week for the United States Grand Prix. The World Championship is his. It's going to be a coming-home party, and he told us about it.
A few things that pose a little extra incentive for us. So when you start keeping score and you're close to some sort of a record of sorts, I think it becomes a little more important. That's why it should be a good one for us.
You bet. You bet it was getting close. Six wins going for seven.
When he means a record, of course, he means an all-time record of Grand Prix wins in a season, which if he could win the U.S. Grand Prix, would not only be tremendous for him, but it would mean a new record.
And all next weekend, CBS will highlight and update what's going on at that track. And then, the following Saturday, we'll show you the United States Grand Prix from Watkins Glen, New York. It's run next week. We're back under green. There are 12 laps remaining as they come to the line. Mario Andretti is in first. Johnny Rutherford, Fort Worth, Texas, is in second. Johnny Parsons, the Indiana driver, in third. Andretti wasting no time, taking that lead and moving away by several car lengths as the field goes to the dogleg.
Racing in the shadows now. The sun gone down over the gorgeous town of Trenton and leaving Mario with a tremendous lead over Johnny Rutherford. Both of them pulling away from Johnny Parsons.
Johnny Rutherford, winner earlier this year, in second.